don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
So borrowing money can feel like making a deal with the devil, I tell you, or your fairy godmother, depending on how your relationship is like with the person you're borrowing money from. But the trick is knowing how to wield the power of credit responsibly. And that's why we need to know, what exactly is it? Is it a deal with the devil? Or is it getting some benefits from your fairy godmother? Tsungai Masendeka is our guest and our expert for this week, and she's here to help us. Good afternoon to you, ma'am, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your wonderful listeners.
So what are the key differences between good and bad debt, assuming that there is such a thing as good debt?
So good debt is debt which I say helps you to increase your net worth or your overall ability to earn an income.
Right.
Now, what is your net worth? Your net worth is calculated as the difference between the assets you own and the liabilities you have.
Okay.
So if, for example, you've got assets in the order 1 million and your debt is 800,000,
right,
then your net worth is at 200,000.
Okay.
So if you then take debt that helps increase your net worth from 200,000 to 400,000, then that's good type of debt.
Right.
Alternatively, if you take debt that allows you to purchase assets or allows you to increase your income generating capacity, that is also good debt. So a mortgage, because it helps you increase your net worth, would be considered good type of debt that helps you increase your net worth. A student loan, because it's debt you're taking that will potentially increase your earning capacity, is also considered good type of debt. So that's the debt you get from your fairy godmother, as you have said it.
Okay. So how can credit cards be tools for financial growth rather than a trap? Because it seems as though with many people, they get credit cards and they find themselves trapped in credit card debt. So how can credit cards be tools for financial growth?
Woo! If I had it my way, I would never use credit cards as a tool for growth because the interest rates are normally very high.
Right.
And you'll find that once you start borrowing from your credit card, all right, it's normally for consumptive purposes.
Right.
Very few people ever tap into their credit card because they wanted to use that to fund an increase in their net worth.
Right.
Or they wanted to fund an increase in their earnings capacity.
Okay.
Because you'll see that four things where you can actually increase your earnings capacity, there are specific loans for that, and usually those loans have got reasonable interest rates.
Right.
A mortgage, for example, is normally tailored around the prime lending rate. And when you consider that prime lending rate, it means that that debt is coming at a cheaper cost compared to the debt on a credit card. All right. So at the end of the day, if you want to borrow at the prime lending rate, or you get debt at the prime lending rate, which is currently about 11.25%, it means that if you then take a credit card and you have that debt at prime plus, say, 4%, which makes it 15.25%. The cost of that debt is more expensive. The cost of financing or repaying that debt is more expensive for you.
Right.
So for me, I really struggle to find the world where credit debt is ever good debt, because normally people are using it to compensate for a lack of income.
Right.
They're using it to plug the holes in their consumption, which I generally call bad debt, because when you're borrowing to feed yourself, borrowing to maintain a lifestyle, borrowing to keep up with the kunenes, that is definitely bad debt.
Easy now, easy. Yo. Okay, take us through the steps that someone can take to avoid falling into this debt spiral.
So First and foremost for me is making sure you've got an accountability partner in the form of a certified financial planner like myself or a financial advisor.
Okay.
Why? Because we coach our clients to live below their means.
Okay.
If you earn 25,000, we will make sure that we set up a financial plan that ensures you live below the 25,000 if that's your net income.
Right.
So that's where a lot of people fall short. They've not sat down with anyone to actually ascertain what is a reasonable lifestyle based on their earnings.
Okay.
Some people have that budget in their minds. Some people will have it on their phone, but for my clients, as an example, I've actually created systems that help them to see where are they overspending, where are they underspending, where can they free up cash in order for them to actually then put in place strategy number two, which is an emergency fund.
Right.
Approximately 60% of all the debt that people take out is as a result of not having planned properly for an eventuality.
Right.
Those eventualities come in the form of a death, the sickness of a loved one.
Right.
It can come in the form of being retrenched. It can come in the form of so many different types of eventualities, burst geyser, a tire puncture.
Yeah.
An engine for a car not working, but they're underprepared for life's eventualities.
All right.
So you want to make sure that you set up an emergency fund, which we recommend should be at least 3 to 6 months worth of your monthly expenses, so that when life happens, it finds you on the right side of the bank account.
Okay.
If you have an emergency fund, you can then use that money to have your car fixed, to have the geyser fixed, to help fund some of those funeral expenses instead of having to resort to expensive debt to plug in those financial demands.
Okay. So are there certain types of loans that should always be avoided?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
If it's not good type of debt, avoid it like it's a virus.
Okay.
So if you're not, again, if I come to the criterion of good debt versus bad debt, if it's not debt that's going to help you increase your earning capacity, if it's not debt that's going to help you increase your net worth, stay away from it.
Right.
And for me, that kind of debt ranges from things like store loans. It ranges from personal loans. It's in the form of credit cards. It's in the form of clothing accounts, store accounts even. So there are ways to ensure that you don't find yourself in a precarious position
by managing your
cash outflows.
Yesterday, you said we need those in order to demonstrate that we are good payers. We need those store loans, those credit loans, so that we can demonstrate to the potential lender that we are good payers of the debt. We can service the debt we need. We spoke about that yesterday. Did I get the wrong end of it?
Yes. So you did catch me correctly, but I think where I need to then help elevate your wisdom is to say there are alternative ways of actually building your credit score.
Okay.
I'll give an example of myself.
Right.
Approximately 10 years ago, and I don't want to give away my age here.
Okay.
I wanted to purchase my first property soon out of varsity, soon after coming out of varsity.
Right.
Being someone who was afraid of debt because I'd been told debt is taboo, I didn't have any debt whatsoever. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have a student loan. I had nothing. I worked on a purely cash basis.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, like you've correctly identified, when I needed to buy my first property, which again is good type of debt, I didn't have the relevant credit score to be able to justify that I could actually afford paying for the mortgage.
Right.
So what I then did was I approached one of the cell phone contracting service providers.
Right.
And through them,
mm-hmm.
I actually took a catalog, did my math for which phone will I be getting the best value for my money. So when I calculated the value of the data bundle, the value of the minutes, the value of the airtime relative to the price of the phone, I actually realized that I was actually going to benefit from that specific deal.
Right.
So I entered into that contract, right? Because remember, these that's also a credit facility. It shows up on your credit report. How often do you pay? Do you pay on time? Do you pay in full? So through that, after about a four-month period, I could now go back to the bank and apply for that mortgage because now I had credit history. And yes, maybe my score was not the greatest, but I had the history that allowed me to have that conversation in terms of me being able to apply for the debt.
Right.
So it's not necessarily taking out the credit card or taking out the personal loan that's going to enhance your credit score every time.
Okay.
There are other ways of building that credit record in order for you to then get debt.
Okay.
Now, after I had my first property, guess what? I went and I then applied for a second one. Mm-hmm. But now because they've got credit history from my first bond, plus from my cell phone contract, guess what? I can now negotiate because I've got a mix of debt. If you remember yesterday, one of the criterion is that they look at the credit mix and they also now I've got history. I now have 2 years worth of history. Mm-hmm. It means I can now negotiate my rates for the second bond. But being also smarter, you can also refinance that initial bond that didn't have such favorable rates.
Right.
And this is now where you start growing your net worth by being smarter at leveraging on debt.
Okay. Final question. So how can budgeting now help in maintaining healthy credit habits?
Oh, you have touched a soft spot for me.
Okay.
So you can definitely maintain your credit score and be a responsible borrower by ensuring that you plan for those monthly obligations. So if you've got a money management tool like I offer my clients, I actually have a section there called debt management.
Okay.
So in there would put your store loans, you'd put in your credit cards, you'd put in your personal loans, you'd put in your motor vehicle loan, you'd put in your bond. And in there, you allocate the amount of money that's required to fund the debt.
Right.
So it's not a by the way expense. No, you're planning for it. You are intentionally accounting for it on a monthly basis, which means after allocating those amounts, I need to then spend whatever else is left. So if, for example, I'm earning 50,000, all right, and my debt is approximately 15,000 of the 50,000, then it means that I now have 35,000 left to then spend.
Okay.
And I am meticulous about making sure that that 35,000 is enough for every other thing that I need. And I'm the kind of person who encourages people to be meticulous and as detailed as possible when they're doing their budget.
Right.
If it's money that you are using for family responsibility, aka black tax, put it
there.
Let it not be a by the way item. Put it there in your budget. If it's money that you're going to be using for birthdays, put it in there. If it's money you're using for bank fees, because sometimes people do not account for banking fees, but if now you've got four bank accounts and they're each 300 rand a pop, it's 1.2, which is a significant amount of money.
Right.
So everything must be accounted for. For us females, we love to look good. Hair and nails must be a line item. Clothing must be a line item.
Right.
School fees, transport for the kids, account for every single cent that you're going to spend.
Right.
So that at the end of the day, you've got a holistic picture of how much you are spending on your debt, how much you're spending on consumption, and very importantly, how much are you spending for future purposes, aka savings and investments.
Got it. Whoa. Okay. All right. It's a process and it takes some deliberate thinking and focusing your whole plan of the year, I suppose, because you can't just decide in the moment that, budgeting this, I'm buying that, I'm borrowing this. It requires a plan. Perhaps if I can just smuggle one more question, is there a template perhaps that is available anywhere, whether it's on the net, where people can download this and use it as a budgeting tool for the year or for the month, for that matter?
So I would love to share my own money management tool or budget template that I use with my own clients.
Okay.
And if anyone listening would love a copy of it, please reach out to me on 073-519-2358. My number again, 073-519-2358. Or on tsungai.masendeke@liblink.co.za. And I will gladly, gladly, gladly share a copy because I believe money is made when you plan on how to use it and how to keep it.
Got it. Tsungai Masendeke, thank you very much for your time and your insights. Always valuable. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow.
Thank you so much and have a blessed day further.
All right. Thank you very much, Bremen. That's how we end our conversation for today with our guest, Tsungai Masendeke, giving us some perspective, some insights, some understanding.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.